You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Wake Up Tucson. You're on 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Christopher D. Simone, Matthew D. Neely, Esquire, and you are amazing Wakeys. Thank you for being here and supporting what we do. Hopefully, we're trying to earn it every darn day that we do this show and giving you good meat like we just did with Dr. D. Filippo. I want to thank everyone that was a part of our amazing fundraiser at the Westward Look. I want to thank John and Whitney and Rich and the crew up there for being such good hosts to us and to the Wakeys. And I know a few of you stayed overnight and made it a kind of a highlight of your weekend. 177 or so strong, great food, great friends. Jim Bednarik, thank you for the amazing music. Thanks to my support crew of Mona Gibson and Sarah Ramsey and Pat Hirsch and Bo and Margo and Joey Susco and all the folks from Cheryl and Ed and I feel like I'm in, and Toto too. I feel like I'm just naming it. And then, of course, all of our amazing friends and business owners that donated so many cool silent auction prizes and raffle prizes, and it's a winner. So right now with the, I just have looking at the preliminary numbers, we are going to be somewhere between $18,000 and $20,000 for what we raised on Saturday night. Matt Gentry was there.
It was awesome.
There he is. For our friend from the drive, him and his lovely wife were there. And we just had a great night. Ed Alexander, the mayor of Pliskin Acres. We had three mayors there yesterday. We had Tom Murphy from Sahuarita, Ed Honey from Marana, and Ed Alexander from Pliskin Acres. So three mayors. Mo Green and Mary Murphy from Track Ranch, Juan Siscomani, U.S. Congressman. Let's see. Oh, I miss Chris Ackerley was there. There was so many good people there. So, and then Smooch the Donkey raised $250.38 just by himself. So thank you all. Like I said, we're going to land somewhere between 18 and 20 grand for the evening. So
sweet.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner, as we like to say. So, where were you and Brother Joe giggling about over there? I saw you. You were giggling.
Side shows.
What kind of side shows?
Inner street takeovers and side shows. It's an important. And we were also talking about I don't want to steal his thunder, but the mayor could have been on the ticket with Kamala and
absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
She's just as useless as Waltz.
But your brother came up with some good points. Brother Joe came up with some good points as to, good morning, Joe, as to, you know, why she couldn't commit to being a true competitor in the sweepstakes for VP.
All right, Brother Joe, welcome to the show.
Good morning. And, you know, we had our laugh this morning, Matt and I.
You're saying Romero could have made a stronger push to be the VP candidate? Is that what you guys were talking about?
Yep.
I believe it was maybe a month ago I had prognosticated that she would be the vice presidential candidate. But I think I miscalculated because she just wasn't really radical enough when you compared her to a giant in Waltz who was willing to literally burn his city down to the ground. And he was literally willing to destroy small business so they will never come. Not only would these good people lose their business, but they would never come back again. So in light of that kind of a superstar, radical superstar, unfortunately, our mayor, Regina, she got aced out.
I mean, she...
But
she took
but
the
maybe
step.
Maybe she'll double down her efforts.
She took the step into the pool, but all she could do is get a fellow councilwoman to assault a cop.
Yeah, she
couldn't just go all the way and jump in. And
her skills at municipal negligence were lacking compared to Tim Walz. Is that what we're saying?
He's a superstar, you know. Plus, Governor Walz's commitment to China and his military record.
He beat me to the military record.
Commitment to feminine hygiene and boys' bathrooms throughout the school system of Minnesota.
Why didn't I think of that? You know, that's what she's got to be. Why didn't I think of that?
And I felt bad for her because I know she's done a great job. I mean, the murder rate has been, you know, hitting new records. These sideshows are just awesome. So hopefully the radical left out here will just kind of just catch their breath, and then they can double down on catching Walz. And I'm sure they will.
You're right. She blew it, man. She should have had a city ordinance that all men's bathrooms have to have tampons, right? That was a missed opportunity.
So you've got to commit to the cause.
And every tree should have a tampon dispenser on them. That's what I would do.
Well, I mean, you know, Madam Vice President Harris, I mean, she's radical. She admits she likes being radical. It's radical.
Just fell out of a coconut tree? You exist in the context of all in which you live and what came before you.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's bigger than Walz. So, I mean, as giant as Walz is, she's got Walz beat.
Let's do this. Let's go to break. And when we come back with Brother Joe, we're going to take it up a notch. Let's talk about Kamala and price controls when we come back with
at least that's economics, right? Sure.
It's something.
Bad economics.
It's a Supermoon Monday on Wake Up Tucson. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. All right, welcome back to Wake Up Tucson. Hey, remember today at 9:30 at the Eddy Hotel on Campbell, just north of River, is the Protect the Vote Grassroots Seminar. So put on by Heritage, Honest Elections Project, and a few other people. So if you want to learn how to be an effective poll watcher and do all those things, I know a lot of you think it's just, quote, going to get stolen, give this thing a shot. 9:30 today at the Eddy Hotel on Campbell, just north of River. We're playing the Super Moon Monday playlist today, and we're hanging out with Brother Joe. Brother Joe, good morning. Welcome back, sir.
Great to be back in the saddle with you.
So I was Kamala Harris price control discussion. I guess we should all thank her for exposing one of my favorite little things from someone from the left is when your opponent calls you a communist, the next thing you shouldn't do is ask for price controls. it's just she was getting pounded by someone on CNN for going for price controls. So is this just their shot to just, even if she loses, or is they think is going hard communist the way to win the presidency of the United States? Let's start there.
Well, certainly the Madam Vice President has her own. She goes by the beat of her own drum, Brother Chris. And Stuart Varney was commenting, had a clip of her. I don't know if you saw it, but I thought it was just spectacular. She was discussing drug patents, very important drug patents, important drugs for people's health issues, obviously. And her whole point, the Nevada Vice President's whole point, was that she said, quote unquote, she would steal it. She would steal the patent so that people could, you know, she's going to help everybody because she's going to steal it from these wealthy pharmaceutical companies that spent who knows how many hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars to develop this drug. She was going to steal it and do quote unquote the right thing. So this is part of the radical agenda that you and Matt don't seem to be embracing enough and kind of going with enough. When you're a radical, you create your own rules. So, you know, you create your own, forget about Christian Judeo principles. That doesn't matter. The Pledge of the Allegiance doesn't matter. It's radical. And that's what she is. And all of these things, that's how you're promoted in the Democratic Party. You have to be radical.
Well, let's see. I want to do this. I just sent Matt a video. It's the Trump commercial on this whole thing, and he actually quotes one of the quotes you'll hear from a talking head is actually one of the people on CNN. So let's play it for everyone and give them a little refresher here a little bit.
I will work to pass the first ever federal ban on price gouging on food.
You mean gouging?
Seen this kind of thing tried in lots of other countries
CNN
before.
Lady.
Venezuela, Argentina, the Soviet Union, etc. It leads to shortages. It leads to black markets.
Essentially, what we're talking about, those gargantuan big government that controls everything. What we're talking about is a war on capitalism.
It's not going to be markets. It's not going to be supply and demand that's determining how much your grocery store charges you for milk or for eggs. It's going to be some bureaucrat in D.C., which seems like totally unworkable.
It's always, always about control. They want to control. They want to be able to pick winners and losers and also be able to punish those losers.
This is where we're at. We're going full-blown commie.
Well, but that's what it's coming down to, Chris, right? Because either you're for free enterprise, small business, family business, right to run your business legally the way you like, or you fall into line and you follow a different drummer. And then you certainly are going to pledge allegiance to the pro-choice doctrine as well.
So, of course, Matt's going back to the Nixon...
I tried the price controls and they didn't quite work out the way I thought they would.
Yeah.
Even
fortunately, I was only running against George McGovern, so it didn't matter too much.
Even Checkers looked at me and said, "Dick, you've lost your effing mind." Thank you, Checkers.
So, yeah, what's the incentive, right, to get out of bed in the morning, whether you're a corporation or an individual? Say you got the best pizza in town, okay? You got the very best pizza in town. It costs you $20 a pie to make. You want to sell it for $35, but they say, no, pizza can only be sold for
$9.99. Yep. I'm telling you, man.
It goes against the heart of being an American. But see, the people they've illegally brought in, and I don't care if they're illegally documented, they're illegally here, they have a whole different agenda. And there's millions of them. And they're from different countries with a whole different agenda. So they're not thinking like, you know, you and I and mom and dad, Main Street. And that isn't reconciled. So like your program on, you know, protect the vote. I'd like to know what we're doing to protect. I'd like to know what our congressmen and our senators are doing to protect the vote, so we don't have another 2020 debacle. Because as I understand it, anybody with a driver's license, whether they're a citizen or not, can vote in many places. So, I mean, what kind of an election is that? You have non-U.S. citizens voting in such an important election. So, to me, that hasn't even been... The Republican Party has not delineated their strategy to protect the vote. And until they do that, Trump might be finding himself, you know, having all these rallies and talking at all these rallies. But in the end, We have non-U.S. citizens voting in such an important election, which will affect us economically.
So what's happened is the Democrat Party has sold the Trump hate to just deny reality on other things that has nothing to do with Trump, right? And this is the, quote, price gouging fat cats thing, right? I've seen this everywhere. So I put the comment that said about the inflation keeps going down. So someone put the thing, I used to weigh 200 pounds. In 2020, I gained 5 pounds. In 2021, I gained 11. Then 9 the next year, 6, and now 3. So my weight's down, but now I weigh 234, right? And so someone that I'm not going to name his name right now, who's a business owner in this town, one that we've talked about, literally goes, he sells his products to national grocery stores. And he says, we haven't raised our price, but somehow they've raised the price 30% more, and they're making record profits, right? So he's complaining about these national supermarket companies making record profits off of his product, even though he's kept them the same. But even though they're big fat cats gouging the public, he's still making hundreds of thousands of dollars off of the supermarkets. But he hates Trump so much, I think, that that's what they got. It's just amazing. So, Joe, hold on. We'll be right back. Brother Joe, this is Gabby Moreno, and we got a little Luna here from Gabby on Supermoon Monday. Wake up. And that same conversation about the fat cats and inflation, right?
Fat cats.
Miguel Cuevas, former TUSD school board member, just embarrasses himself by saying, well, a Trump presidency will let companies like Kroger and Albertsons complete their merger. When did they start the merger? Right now. Remember the food desert stuff that happened in the last 4 years, Miguel? I'm going to give you the Michael Jackson from South Park right now.
You ignorant.
Brother Joe, welcome back, my friend.
Good to be back.
Now, we're going to play a guy. Its name is Milton Friedman. He's a Nobel Prize winner. Because we have to keep drilling this into everyone's head on what's going on here. Because it's just amazing. Let's do it one more time. Milton Friedman for Chris, Joe, Matt, and all of the Wakeys. Let's do it.
Inflation is the most destructive disease known to modern societies. There is nothing which will destroy a society so thoroughly and so fully as letting inflation run riot. Inflation doesn't arise because you got consumers who are spendthrift. They've always been spendthrift. It doesn't arise because you've got the businessmen who are greedy. They've always been greedy. Inflation arises because we as citizens have been asking you as politicians to perform an impossible task. We've been asking you to spend somebody else's money on us, but not to spend our money on anybody else. Everybody talks against inflation, but what he means is that he wants the prices of the things he sells to go up and the prices of the things he buys to go down. The real tax on the American people is not what you label taxes. It's total spending. If Congress spends $50 billion more than it takes in, if government spends $50 billion,
these are the good days.
Who pays that $50 billion?
Of course.
The Arab sheiks aren't paying it. Santa Claus isn't paying it. The Tooth Fairy isn't paying it. You and I, as taxpayers, are paying it indirectly through hidden taxation.
I mean, how many times can we run through this about inflation? Brother Joe.
Well, I mean, these people have mastered the art of creating the problem and then yelling, blaming somebody else, and they love to blame Trump, whether he's, you know. So that's the game. That's the game. Now, Milton Friedman is a brilliant guy. How many people really know who Milton Friedman? You think all these kids in college that have their headphones on and they're texting each other and they're on social media, do you think they know who Milton Friedman? Do you think the average young couple sit around at the table, honey, let me tell you about Milton Friedman? No. For some reason, we're proud of our ignorance. And Milton Friedman was prophetic in those days, and he's still prophetic in today's day and age.
Tell you what, Phil Donahue, just on the news, Phil Donahue passed away today or yesterday. And one of the greatest clips is Phil Donahue asking Milton Friedman about corporate greed. and Milton Friedman just shutting him down.
Let's find that one before we leave today, Matthew, please. Go, Joe.
Yeah, business is there to make a profit, and if they don't have a good model and they don't have customers, they won't be in business. So that's the fine line they run. But Milton Friedman said it perfectly. You know, the politicians that spend so much more money than they bring in pass it as a silent tax because they're trying to appease people, right? They want to sell their goods high, but they want to buy things low. It's the freebie. But what's interesting, Chris, on a financial note, Social Security, okay, which is unfortunately funds the running of the government, and our taxes that we pay go down to the national debt or pay the interest on the national debt. Nobody seems to see the gravity in that situation, where that's running out by something like 2033, right around the corner. So, inflation. So how does that affect it? So, okay, I see a lot of people running to the bank because they know interest rates are coming down. They have the meeting in Jackson Hole in Wyoming at the end of the week with the Federal Reserve, and they're kind of, you know, prognosticating we're going to lower rates. And so what do people do? You know, I've locked in my CD at 5% for the next 5 years. I've locked it in. Well, you know, I guess that's good, right? But unfortunately, when you look at you're going to pay tax on it, most people will pay tax on that, and inflation. So all you've done is you've run down to the bank and locked it in at five. What have you done? You've locked in a loss. You know, you've locked in a loss for the next 3 to 5 years because time you look at inflation, time you look at the taxes you're going to pay on the interest, you got nowhere. And that's the scary thing about inflation. It just quietly steals your money, and you don't even know about it. You think you did the right thing, but you don't even know that you've just locked in a loss.
Matt Neely, did you find the Milton Friedman and Phil Donahue? I still love Phil Hartman doing Phil Donahue. But Phil Donahue, last time I actually was in the urinal next to Phil Donahue at the Temple of Music and Art when Marlo Thomas starred in a horrible play for ATC. So that's the last time I saw Phil alive in the bathroom. Just want to let everyone know that. That's my claim to fame. Go.
When you see around the globe the maldistribution of wealth, the desperate plight of millions of people in underdeveloped countries, when you see so few haves and so many have-nots, when you see the greed and the concentration of power within, did you ever have a moment of doubt about capitalism and whether greed's a good idea to run on?
Well, first of all, tell me, is there some society you know that doesn't run on greed? You think Russia doesn't run on greed? You think China doesn't run on greed? What is greed? Of course, none of us are greedy. It's only the other fellow who's greedy. The world runs on individuals pursuing their separate interests. The great achievements of civilization have not come from government bureaus. Einstein didn't construct his theory under order from a bureaucrat. Henry Ford didn't revolutionize the automobile industry that way. In the only cases in which the masses have escaped from the kind of grinding poverty you're talking about, the only cases in recorded history are where they have had capitalism and largely free trade. If you want to know where the masses are worst off, it's exactly in the kinds of societies that depart from that. So that the record of history is absolutely crystal clear that there is no alternative way so far discovered of improving the lot of the ordinary people that can hold a candle to the productive activities that are unleashed by a free enterprise system.
But it seems to reward not virtue as much as ability to manipulate the system.
And what does reward virtue? You think the communist commissar rewards virtue? You think a Hitler rewards virtue?
You think, excuse me, if you'll pardon me, do you think American presidents reward virtue? Do they choose their appointees on the basis of the virtue of the people appointed or on the basis of their political clout? Is it really true that political self-interest is nobler somehow than economic self-interest? You know, I think you're taking a lot of things for granted. And just tell me, where in the world you find these angels who are going to organize society for us?
Well,
I don't even trust you to do that.
Hey! I mean, that's where you're at, right? Let's
angels to organize society.
Correct, right?
Kamala Harris, Madam Vice President, she's an angel organizing society. What a great line. That blew me away.
I would be like, I would be taking that audio and putting it over modern images right now if I was the Republicans, and just keep pounding it over and over again. And then tie that into, right, if you're going after some of the votes of different demographics, talk about how Black and Hispanics had their lowest unemployment rate in 50 years under Donald Trump, not stepping on business, right? And that women-owned businesses had their highest amount of startups under Donald Trump in history. And just intertwine that what we just heard from Milt and rock and roll. That's what I would do.
Yeah. You got to assume the win, right? You got to assume the win and they don't have to go on and complain about the other side, but just let their talking do your talking, because they can't keep the story straight.
Let's go to break. One more segment with Brother Joe, 790-2040, if you want to get in the conversation. Bluechipplan.com, if you want to work with Joe and the Blue Chip Planners on saving money in the best way possible, or call 600-7307, extension 1. Let's go to break. You're on Wake Up Tucson. Uh-oh. There he is.
By request.
On Supermoon Monday. My huckleberry friend, before that other creature came about. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 of the Voice. I think the engineer on this was Alan Parsons.
I believe you are correct, sir.
A bunch of friends went to the Parsons, they went to the concert up in Phoenix yesterday, including Phil and Kate, said they had a great time. Great to see them at the party on Saturday. I hadn't seen
Absolutely.
Phil and Kate in a long, long time, so it's all good. We're under strain by what we experienced in the past, or whatever Kamala would say. Hey, Joe, before we run out of time here and get to our friend Alan Kath on Jump in Tucson, I feel like I keep saying this is you know, we thought it was a gaslighting campaign that Joe Biden was, quote, competent. I think they've taken gaslighting to a whole other level. We just had the AP story that they gotta love this. A woman who's had nothing to do with the border, zero. There's zero proof she's had anything to do other than support everything to blow through the border. AP presented with a rise in border crossings, Kamala Harris chose the long-term approach to the problem. You just haven't seen the genius revealed.
Yeah. It's they're reinventing her to be somewhere across between Mother Teresa and Princess Diana in this new reinvention of Madam Vice President Harris.
I also love what she says. We'll get working on that on day one. You've been there for 3.5 years.
Why don't you do it now? Why don't you stop inflation now?
You know, what's the other thing
is,
usually there's vice presidents will work on some sort of project that's near and dear to their heart, kind of in a way that you could say, oh, I can't even tell you what Kamala Harris does. Like, what's her thing in the last 3.5 years as vice president, other than cackling and telling everyone that Joe's amazingly competent and sharp?
Well, what has the president done?
Well, he's out of his mind, so...
So there's your answer.
She's supposedly not out of her mind, Joe. That's what I'm saying. So even the Democrats have told you Joe is incompetent to run for office a second time.
Well, hopefully the American voter can see through it. But, you know, you just never know with this crowd.
So let's assume everything election-wise is on the up and up. Where right now, things are going to change a lot between now and November 5th. Let's say everything's on the up and up. Where do you think that, what's the Joe DeSimone gut, your Lee Wilson gutometer tell you on Trump v. Kamala?
I think Trump will win, will squeak it out, because I think the business people left out there, like the farmers and family-held businesses, have had enough experimentation. You know, they were willing to give Obama a shot, but this one is not Obama. And then I also think about our friends from Israel that were traditionally Democratic voters, that after seeing what's going on over there, and it's what's going on in college campuses, you might be surprised how they may vote for Trump. I see this even listening to Wall Street, very powerful Wall Street type figures, that it seems they've had enough experimentation as well. They're, you know, the openness and the willing to try under Obama is not equating down to Harris here. So we're never going to convince the left, the radical left, to change their ways to save the world. It's never going to happen. You'll get more people like, you know, the independents, people in the middle, but then you'll get some traditional Democratic voters that are going to come over because they feel they're pushed to the edge, too far. So my hope is, if it's a honest election, that will come through. And don't think, you know, I've had so many discussions with clients and friends and associates. I mean, this cheap money train is not stopping with all the terrible things going on and people telling me the thing's going to, you know, everything's going to come unglued. And, you know, Federal Reserve has this agenda. They control the game. And the way they're controlling it is more cheap money. And so, yeah, there's systematic risk. But nothing's new out there. You're going to see lower rates at the banks. You're going to see lower rates on real estate. And you're going to see markets moving along just fine. And if rates go down low enough, you may see another surge in real estate again.
We shall see. Hey, before I run out of time, I tagged you on a photo on Facebook of Big Surf in Tempe.
Yeah, sorry.
So, 80s.
Good old days.
86, 84.
84.
We were
over there.
Yeah, you know, we did a vacation to Phoenix area. Our parents were thinking about possibly moving to Scottsdale in those days. We went to an ASU baseball game with Barry Bonds playing, I remember, in those days. And we went to Big Surf. And as two kids who grew up body surfing in the real ocean, this was very quaint that there was a big giant pool that kicked up a wave every so many minutes.
You know, we had a great time. And I mean, those were the days. I think the house was in McCormick Ranch on an acre of land for $99,000.
Yeah.
I think that sells for $2 million today. We should have just bought it as an investment.
Yeah, we screwed that one up. A full basketball court, half acre in the back with nothing on it. It was off the charts. Matt, you were a big surfer, right?
Yes, sir.
That was when that place first.
It's about 90% urine by August.
Jesus.
And the sand was so hot in the 110 degree sun, you would just burn your feet.
We were there Easter week, so
a lot of summer
we were there
days
in
there.
April.
Yeah, yeah. Fun place.
So it went to Uncle Pee Pee's water park, is that what you're saying?
Just saying.
On that note.
Sorry about that.
Brother Joe, God bless. Have an amazing week. Thanks for your efforts as always.
Thank you, and I'm sure you and Matt will enjoy the Democratic Convention this week. And remember, Thursday is the highlight.
Sponsored by Tito's.
Board up the windows. The Democrats are coming.
Have a great week.
Later, my friend. So tomorrow we have some folks here for the 9/11 Tower Challenge. We have a young entrepreneur, Caleb, that we're going to introduce you in the third hour. And we're going to have a drinking game. So we're going to play the entire Raheena Romero speech from the DNC. But before we get there, you guys are going to have to help me today. I need what key phrases to take a shot at by Raheena Romero. So we know I already got Ums my Paul Lynn in the center square right now.
Equity.
So, equity. Trees. Will she say the word fentanyl? Alan Kaith coming up on Jump In Tucson.